Good morning. Thank you, Jen. I appreciate that ministry of music. And I'm not sure if when you were learning to play, if you had to be encouraged to practice, but whoever encouraged you, I would like to thank them too, for it takes so much practice, and we are so thankful. I'd like to thank you too, Amy, for your ministry of music, and it truly prepares us to worship. Our hope this morning is that when we leave this place, we will have known that we truly worshiped in spirit and in truth. There are churches today that would seek to entertain you. And we know that that's not our mission. For those that they seek to entertain, there is required nothing of those that are entertained. And we know that the things that cost us little, we tend to value little. But we as true worshipers know that we come to worship, and it requires something of us. For the more that we give, the more that we receive. So my hope is that we have come to worship. And I ask that in so doing, in your mindful preparation, that you would continue to remember our brother Steve as he stands in this place to deliver the word that the Lord has helped him prepare for us this morning. For a call to worship, I would like to read a couple scriptures. The first is taken from John chapter 4, verses 25 and 26. And the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. For unto such hath God promised His Spirit. And they who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. And in the book of Alma, chapter 21, verse 2, therefore they gave thanks unto the Lord their God, yea, and they did fast much and pray much, and they did worship God with exceeding great joy. Let us continue our service and turning to hymn number 4.
Thank you. our Father and our God, in the precious name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, we come to your house to join together and give you praise in spirit and truth that we join for this cause. And we thank you, God, for setting this day apart as a day of remembrance. And as we have gathered, Lord, we unite our efforts and our faith, believing that you might reveal yourself. And so it is with anticipation, Lord, we seek thy presence with us and petition that your spirit might preside over this service and that our brother Steve might be given the liberty to speak that which you have placed upon his heart and his mind. And equally, Lord, that we might prepare our hearts to receive that which you have prepared for us. Bless our endeavors to hold your name on high, that we might do all things that are about your business in these latter days. And we pray it in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
In late spring, my son Ryan had, after 20 years of working, he was told that their department was going to be outsourced to a company in India. And his job would end in December this year. But he got his resume up to order, and earlier this month he got other employment. So I'm grateful, and I prayed for him that he would accomplish this. Shall we pray? Our dear Heavenly Father, we're grateful for all that we have, all that thou hast given us. Pray that thou would bless those who give and those who would. Pray that thou would bless this service, bless Steve, Brother Steve. Pray that thou might bless us throughout this week. This we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
You know, there's beauty in plainness. Nephi said, I glory in plainness. I want to speak to you this morning in regards to what we discussed in our class this morning. And for a scripture lesson, as we used to call it, it would be taken from section 97, where the Lord addressed Sidney Rigdon and Brother Joseph Smith in 1833. He said, "For in me there is all power. Therefore follow me and listen to the counsel which I shall give unto you." And further down from paragraph 2, "But a commandment I give unto you, that ye shall declare whatsoever things ye declare in my name, in solemnity of heart, in the spirit of meekness, in all things. And I give unto you this promise, that inasmuch as ye do this, the Holy Ghost shall be shed forth in bearing record unto all things whatsoever ye shall say." I'm depending upon that. Thank you, Jenna. I appreciate that so much. Because it was offered in the way of giving ministry. And Amy, thank you for your ministry. You know, I think sometimes that we think we can add to what the Lord has already asked us to provide. And when we add this and that to our ministry, that doesn't become us, it detracts. It's sort of like a picture in a frame, if you will. You see the picture for what it's worth. And sometimes people put a frame around it to enhance it. Little do they know, it's a detriment to that picture. It's the same way as it is in the gospel, brothers and sisters. As I mentioned a while ago, that Nephi said that he glories in plainness. I've been struggling as to what to bring to you this morning. The past few weeks, I thought I had something that I'd like to present several different times. And the leadings of the Spirit told me differently. So I get to class here this morning, and lo and behold, testimony is what we talked about in class. The Lord also said through Joseph to he and Sidney, "It is expedient in me that you, my servant Sidney, should be a spokesman unto this people. Yea, verily I will ordain you unto this calling, even to be a spokesman unto my servant Joseph." But listen to this. "And I will give unto him power to be mighty in testimony. And I will give unto thee power to be mighty in expounding all scriptures," to Sidney, that thou mayest be a spokesman unto him, and he shall be a revelator unto thee for this reason, that thou mayest know the certainty of all things pertaining to the things of my kingdom on the earth." There's a lot of uncertainty today, is there not? A lot of uncertainty in the world. A lot of uncertainty in the different religions, etc. But the God that we worship is a God that is certain about all things. I want to talk to you for a moment about testimony. I have a few. I know you do too. I'm going to tell you something that you already know. I know I'm preaching to the choir, but something that a testimony is not. It's not an hour-by-hour account of what you did that day, but rather that which voices holiness to our Lord and our Savior. That testimony that can win souls unto him. I was told in my patriarchal blessing to study church history so I could win souls unto him. But first of all, you have to consider what the Lord's done for us. And not that I'm anything to brag about, but you must live your life closely to the Lord that you can have a testimony, you see. That's what testimonies are all about. You know, he said, "What I say to one, I say to all." So these words which the Lord was giving to Sidney and Joseph go for you and me today. He says, "When you do what I say, I am bound. But if you do not what I say, ye have no promise." What a marvelous Lord, we have brothers and sisters. Section 100, we find these words. Verily I say unto you that I have decreed a decree which my people shall realize. He's talking to you and me as well. Inasmuch as we hearken from this very hour unto the counsel which I, the Lord their God, shall give unto them, for I have decreed it, begin to prevail against mine enemies from this very hour, and by hearkening to observe all the words which I, the Lord their God, shall speak unto them. Us. They shall never cease to prevail until the kingdoms of the world are subdued under my feet, and the earth is given unto the saints to possess it forever and ever. But inasmuch as they keep not my commandments and hearken not to observe my words, the kingdoms of the world shall prevail against them, us. For they were set to be a light unto the world and to be the saviors of men. And inasmuch as they are not the saviors of men, they are as salt that has lost its savor and is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of man. Are you the savor and the savior of men's men? You see, through our testimony, you can win souls to the Lord in this great cause of the kingdom. I'm reminded of two brethren. They were brothers. You know them when I mention their name, Oscar and Hubert Case. These men were valiant in testimony, were they not? I really never had the privilege of visiting with Hubert. I knew him. But I was more acquainted with Brother Oscar. He was about 5'6", about 150 at the most. Giant of a man. He really was. Oscar said about great trials of our people years ago. Hubert said, a man told him, not a church member, he lived in far west at the time of the persecution there, and that something terrible, his very word, something terrible happened to every one of those fellows. Those people that were trying to destroy this church. But Hubert and Oscar converted many souls through their testimony, through their daily walk, which was their testimony, that they were marvelous men. And one time, Brother Oscar had the privilege, I'll say, of meeting with 7 Baptist ministers. And they placed him in the center of a room, and all 7 of those men were going to have a great debate with him. Well, Oscar didn't like that very well. He said, okay, we'll do that, but I get the equal amount of time that each one of you get. They offered him that. They allowed that. Oscar converted every single one of them to this gospel. This is the gospel, which is the true gospel, brothers and sisters. What a marvelous, marvelous gospel this is. A testimony is something that you share, not only the subject matter, but you share your time in the prayer services with. From section 83, paragraph 7. And now I give unto you a commandment to beware concerning yourselves, to give diligent heed to the words of eternal life. For you shall live by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God. These two brethren did that. That's why they had those testimonies, you see. That's why the Lord blessed them. I wish all of you were here at the 9:30 worship service this morning. Little Eve read to us the entire first paragraph of section 90, which is not short. She read that like she was a high schooler, because she's being taught. She's being taught. And we rear these little children up in the strength of the gospel by our testimonies, because they see what we do. They hear what we say. They're watching us. Many years ago, I want to share a testimony with you. Many years ago, on a New Year's Eve day, it was very cold. The snow had come down the previous several days. And we wanted to take all the kids on a sleigh ride, which my brother had built, a sled, my brother Tom. That sled was longer than these middle pews here, one of them. And there was Tom sitting or laying prone position, several kids on his back. This has been a few years ago. They can't lay on our backs today. And I was in the rear of it. You know, four or five little kids, just one right after another. Four, five, six, 7 years old, so forth. His kids, my kids, my other nieces and nephews, some of them. And we commenced to go on this sleigh ride. We started out at the top of the hill on Alexander Road. I've borne this testimony before. Bear with me for those who have heard it before. I think it's valuable today. We started out on our journey. It's a long way from the top of the hill on Alexander, where Harry and Aggie Steedy lived, to Truman Road. And we got started, and I realized on the way down that one of my contacts had blown out. That's when I wore contacts years ago, and I thought, oh boy, what now? So I went, we finished our journey, and as I was riding down, I realized that that was a teachable moment for those little children. We got to the bottom of the hill. I said to those kids and my brother, I'm going to go back up and find my contact. I was serious. About that time, a snowplow came through. So we walked back up to the top of the hill. And about halfway up was our house. All the kids were getting cold by then. They went into the house. And my brother, he kind of chuckled as if to say, well, hope you find it. But I don't think he had great hopes. Got to the top of the hill, and I offered a prayer. But just before I got to the top of the hill, Wally Cochran's daughter was stuck in the ditch. And I thought, if I'm going to expect the Lord to help me, I've got to help her get out of this ditch with those little kids in there in that big station wagon. So I did. I still, the only thing I can say is the Lord was there pushing, helping me push that big old station wagon out of a ditch, which was very deep. Anyway, she went on her way, started walking down towards where I thought it might be, and I stood there and offered a prayer, and I said, Lord, help me find this contact. There's nothing else for the testimony of it that I can tell these little children. And out of all of the, I don't know, millions perhaps, billions of glistening rays in the snow, in the ice, I knew where my contact was. Couldn't see it, but I walked right down to it and picked it up. And I went back into the house and said, held it up and said, "Now, who doesn't believe in the power of prayer?" The looks on their faces. This is the God we worship, you see. This is the God that wants to share life's experiences with you, brothers and sisters. This is the God who has called you to be the savers and the saviors of men through your testimony. What a marvelous privilege it is to have those testimonies. Several months back, I was awakened by a thought or a voice. I don't know, really. I don't know which. And it was in the wee hours of the morning, and it caused me to sit up straight in bed. I just sat up because I either heard the words or the thought was presented to me in such a way that it woke me up in the middle of a sleep and said, "Do you know what you have? Brothers and sisters, that'll wake you up." That was meant for me to recognize what I have in this church, in this gospel. When we have these testimonies, like Larry said in class this morning, we don't want to look for a different church. We don't want to have to look for anything else, brothers and sisters, because it's all right here in this gospel. How pleasing it is to the Lord that we share these gospel stories with others, that they can grow and learn. A number of years ago, when I was in the Carpenters Union, jobs were very, very few. And the cabinets were getting pretty bare. And I did work, wherever I could find it, I'd do it. And there was a strike, as I say, and I didn't really want to participate in it necessarily. I don't want to get into that, but I asked the Lord to help me to find means to provide for my family. And I was sitting at the kitchen table one morning early, reading in the book of Matthew, where it talks about, if you have the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, "Be thou removed," and it would be so. And in my weaker moment, I had a little bit of difficulty trying to grasp that, but I knew that it was right. I knew it. And I said to myself, if this is the case, the Lord can help me provide for my family the food and the all of the things that go with that to sustain us in life. I put down my Bible, stood up and turned around. I still don't know why, but I guess I do. Opened the cabinet door, which was over the refrigerator, with my left hand. I'm right-handed, I don't know why. I reached with my left hand, pulled out a crisp $10 bill. We didn't put money in the cabinet, but I knew that the Lord would provide if I exercised a little faith. And again, that voice or that thought came to me in such an undeniable way as to not reject it. It said, Even as you reach for this money, having faith, knowing you shall receive, so shall ye receive food and raiment to sustain you and your family in the days yet. Yep. I reached in there and pulled out that $10 bill. And we went to the store, my wife did, and that happened to be the week of some anniversary of one of the grocery stores. She brought back so many groceries, I still can't. I tell you what a blessing that was. See, these are simple and plain things, brothers and sisters. Just simple, plain things that cannot be explained away other than the fact that the Lord loves His people and He's going to provide for them, you see. He'll provide for you. I know He has already. And He wants to provide for you more than what you have. Not necessarily the things of life, but He wants to provide for you the spiritual things of life. Moreover, that these temporal things may truly take second part in your life. I don't know if any of you knew Brother Vivian Sorensen. He was another giant of a man that was about 5'6". Said that when he was in the war, one day he was telling us, there was an occasion that their company was marching towards the enemy. And as they marched, Vivian said, oh, we were outnumbered 10-1, but we just had to have the faith of the Lord. And we asked him to provide and to protect us. So they were continuing the march, and closer he got to the enemies. To Vivian's astonishment, he looked up, and there was a huge army marching in the air. He told us this. And Gwen vouched for it. She was living with him over there. This army that was marching in the air, there were so many of them. He said, I can't tell you how many there were. There were so many. And they were looking out at it. And their eyes became big, as you imagine they would. And the enemy on the ground here looked at their facial expressions and wondered, what's going on here? They turned around and looked. And Vivian said that when they saw that, most of those men literally jumped out of their boots and scattered. The Lord protected them, you see. You may not have a testimony like that. I may never have a testimony like that, but I have the testimonies that I need, brothers and sisters. And the Lord said in section 85, after your testimony cometh the testimony of earthquakes and pestilence and turbulence. So we had better get busy, had we not, in sharing our testimony that we can perhaps one day win a soul, even if it's one, to win souls unto the Lord. About 4 years ago, when my mother passed away, I have two brothers that have gone on. Years ago, both died of heart attacks. But we were sitting there in Mom's bedroom, my wife and I were on the hospital bed there, and she expired that day. And my wife and I both saw at the same time shadows, and that's the only way I can describe it, or silhouettes, if you will, probably a better word, of two personages, one a little taller than the other. And they came in and went back into the bedroom where Dad was sleeping. And they came out a few seconds later. And I said to my wife, Well, what was that? There goes Dad. Look at him, and he doesn't even have a cane. She said, that was not Dad. And I looked, and she was right. But there were silhouettes. I know to this day, there were silhouettes. The Lord gave the privilege of us knowing that Mike and Tom came back just to see how Dad was doing when Mom passed away. Well, he was doing pretty well. But this is something that the Lord gave us that we can remember to tell our kids and our grandkids. I told a close relative that the other day. They said, well, I never knew that. I chased those shadows or silhouettes, if you will. I followed them out to the door. And the door didn't open, but they went right through it. This is the God we worship, brothers and sisters. This is the God that is asking and pleading with you to get nearer to Him, that He can give you your testimony, that you can tell your children and your grandchildren and all your friends that you know, if they're interested, the beauty and the simplicity of this gospel. Sister Eva Robinson, you probably already know what I'm going to say, shared a testimony with me because she shared it with us years ago. She saw the Lord, the Savior, at her kitchen table one morning. And she had been depressed, is the word I'll use, thinking that she was of no value to anyone anymore. Her kids were all grown, etc. And she said, I was kind of feeling sorry for myself. You know how we do sometimes. As she said, she went about her day. She sat at the kitchen table. And across the table the Lord Jesus appeared to her. His hands were full of diamonds and rubies and emeralds. He was turning them. They about spilled over, but he could contain them as no one else could contain them. He said to her, these are worth more, that you are worth more than these to me. That's what she needed, you see. She'd been praying. Brothers and sisters, the Lord loves you. He wants you to come to Him. He's pleading. He's pleading for you to come to Him and to get closer to Him, that you might have your testimony. For if you think He's incapable, let's think again, so that we can one day know the certainty of all things pertaining to this kingdom. The Lord asked some people back in 1916. I feel like it's important that we try to answer these questions for ourselves today. I have appointed their work and endowed their hands, but have failed of their confidence. God said, yet who has trusted me in vain, or who that has been faithful has found my weapons insufficient? Just a few more questions here. Where has my work been put to shame among those who have trusted my provision? Has he whom I have chosen become wiser than I? Or have years brought feebleness to my hand? Hath not my eye foreseen, or are the conditions that confront my heritage a surprise unto me? Have I grown small in my people's eyes? Or have my ordinances become shrunken that they are without virtue? If my appointments avail not, shall I make potent the instruments of their choosing? Or by what line shall their success be measured? And then he says, has my light grown dim?
Heavenly Father, hallowed is thy name. And certainly we have worshiped thee in spirit and truth here this day. We have experienced thy spirit through the music and the instruments. And we have experienced thy spirit through the spoken word of our brother, who exercised a particle of faith and stood before us this day and shared his testimonies. And because he has shared those testimonies with us, each one of us has been edified and strengthened. And also has counseled us to be valiant in our testimony. May we live our lives close to thee, that we will have many of these testimonies to share with those around us, that we might share the goodness of thy only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that they might have a hope in him. Father, we thank you for the plainness of this sanctuary and the beauty it brings. We thank you for the simpleness and plainness of thy gospel and the beauty of it, and that great plan of salvation because of that selfless act, thy only begotten Son, to die for each one of us, that we might have that opportunity to come back into thy presence once again. And so, Lord, this is our desire. We thank you for this worship experience today. And you may you be with each one of us till we meet again. And these things we pray in the name of thy only begotten Son, our Redeemer, our Savior, who is Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you.